It's a program called Lawrence and Taylor, and you have it right here on 590 WKZO. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. Out for the day today, Roger Taylor. I'm not quite sure what he's doing at this particular point, but taking some time off. So we get to spend some time together today on the program. Lots to talk about, and we certainly have a slate of things we want to run down. Did you know that a little bit later we'll dig into this, but NASA, the people who can't get to space without hitchhiking, are now thinking that society is on the verge of collapsing. We're going to spend a little time talking about that. Also, right here in our home state of Michigan, there's a story that's gone national about a guy who got in trouble at a public meeting. We'll tell you how down the line here a little bit. So you can look forward to that. Some good stuff to tell you about a little bit later on in the program today. We do have a full-length program today, so looking forward to spending the time with you. But sometime during the course of the program, I've got some movie tickets to give you. Now, these are not just movie tickets to anything. These are movie tickets for you to go see the new movie Divergent, which opens tomorrow. And these particular tickets would get you in to see it in the IMAX at Celebration Cinema. We're going to be giving those away sometime during the course of the program, so make sure you keep it here. Four tickets, so you could take three of your friends with you, or, you know what, you could take three total strangers, whatever. But we want you to see this brand-new movie, so that is something that's going to be happening during the program. Also, video of the day, and I got to explain this. Video of the day, we do this because we were told, you know what? You and Roger need to be doing some blogging. Okay, all right. We need to do that. Well, we decided to have a little fun with it because, you know, we like to have fun with you. And so what we've done is we share kind of the viral video of the day, if you will, just different videos that are out there, different things that people have shared over the years or recently. Most of the time, it's something that'll make you smile or take your breath away. We've done that a few times. But some good stuff all the way around. Today's video, a little something that is sure to give you a smile if you're into movie trailers. Clearly, this is a movie that does not exist. But it is a fun, fun trailer. So I want you to check it out for Serial the Movie. Got to check it out. It's at our blog section at WKZO.com. You just click on the site, go on down just below the news. We've got a whole section of blogs and that kind of thing, and you'll be able to see it right there and check it out. And we do a brand new video every weekday, so hopefully we'll be able to hook you in with that as well. You can check it out for yourself. Also, you can share it on Facebook because guess what? We've shared it on Facebook. If you're not yet hooked up with us on Facebook, do so. You can like us there by going to our Facebook website. There is a link at WKZO.com, and you can click there, like us, be a part of our conversations, but also check out some of the fun stuff that we do. Now, one of the things that I wanted to dig into today, we spend time on this program fairly regularly on it because, let's face it, healthcare is affecting all of us in some way or another. And, you know, you're seeing that in just every little story that comes out about what's going on with Obamacare and what's going on with this and that and new delays about this, that, and the other. Well, in a publication called The Hill, it's thehill.com, they've got a story that came out today that talks about what's going to be happening in the next year under Obamacare. Now, if you can recall with me back when the Affordable Care Act was sold to us with this idea that, you know what, things are going to be better if we do this. One of the things we were told was that insurance rates, healthcare costs in general, were going to go down. Now, I'm not the kind of person that bought that hook, line, and sinker at the time. I kind of went, uh-huh, yeah, right. If you remember, this was President Obama made the promise that his health care plan would cut the cost of a typical family's premium by up to $2,500 a year. Sounds nice. Well, now health industry officials have come out and said that Obamacare premiums would likely double in some parts of the country for next year. Double. Now, remember, we were told the idea that we're going to save money under this. It's going to be better for everybody. We're going to get more people covered. It's going to cover everybody a little bit better, and it's going to be cheaper. I know, at the time, I was kind of thinking to myself, yeah, and I'm the tooth fairy. All right. Nevertheless, that's what we were promised, $2,500 savings every year. Well, there's a big difference between $2,500 of savings and doubling of your premium. And one thing that they said in this, and this was an insurance official, they said from a populous swing state, said his company expects to triple its rates next year on the Obamacare exchange. Triple the rates. Now think about what that does to the average budget. If you've got to pay triple on something, no, not going to be able to afford that. The other part of this interesting thing is as we continue on into the enrollment period and the whole thing of, you know, we need to get people signed up, one of the things that's being pointed out in many circles is that younger people are just not signing up for health insurance. They're not going through the exchanges. They're not signing up for it. And you understand that to a certain degree. They're sitting here going, well, I don't need it. I don't need it. I'd rather pay the fine. Either that or they don't know there is a fine attached to all of this. And if you're looking at the way that this is all working, if there's not enough young people in this that are paying for the older people in the program, everything I've read indicates that the Affordable Care Act will sink under its own weight. And at the same time, you always reflect back and go, all right, well, what were we promised? We were promised lower costs. We're being delivered higher costs. And who knows what's going to happen once we finally get to some of these mandates, whenever they finally do kick in, unless the president decides, oh, well, we're going to push that one back. That doesn't work. I'll push that. That doesn't work. So, I mean, to hear an announcement like this, when you hear Obamacare-related premiums will double in some parts of the country, in one swing state, rates will triple next year on the exchange. These are not good things. These are not things that indicate this is a program that's going to help everybody. I want to get your angle on this. I want to get your feel for this, particularly if you're a person that said, you know what, in the beginning, I supported this. I said, you know what, this makes sense. We need to have affordable health care for everybody. Because, you know, the basics of the concept, all right, you know, it's a good thing to say, yeah, let's make health care more available and more affordable. It's a nice idea. How do we do it? But I think increasingly we're seeing that it's not happening this way. So I want to get your angle on that, particularly if you were a person that came out of the gates and said, you know what, from the beginning I was with it, but now I'm not so sure. Or maybe you're still with it. You're saying, you know what, no, I still think this is the way to go. I'd love to hear from you on it. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. I'd love to get your comments on that. Also, you can text us, as you always can. 80373 is the number that you text. Well, you don't text it to us. You text that number, and you can text your comments to us and tell us just exactly what you're thinking about this. We will share some of the comments throughout the program today. Now, thinking about what we've been told about Obamacare, I mean, we all remember the president making the promise, if you like your plan, you can keep it. Well, yeah, we know the answer to that. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. Well, we found out, I believe it was last week, the president says, well, you know what? You might lose your doctor under Obamacare. Okay, that's pretty different. So at least he's coming out and admitting the truth on that. But how does this end up being better for us? That's what I want to know all along. How is this going to be a better way of doing it. And, you know, honestly, my angle on it is this. It's not a matter of let's come up with all these new regulations and new government this, new government that, and 2,500 pages, and boy, we got to pass this thing to find out what's in it. Instead, I think you come up with market-based solutions. You come up with ways to make it more affordable. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we've talked about all the things that we can agree on. Yeah, we can agree on certain elements, you know, pre-existing conditions. Yeah, they ought to be covered. We can all agree on that. But we need to be able to come to a way where it actually works for us. We need to be able to sit down, everybody, and say, all right, what can we do to make things workable? Because that's one thing that, you know, anybody that supports the current plan as it is will point out, well, you know, kids are covered under their parents' plan until 26. Well, that's nice. I think we can all sort of agree on that one. Pre-existing conditions are covered. Great. I think we can all agree on that. But I think there are other ways to be able to say, all right, there's ways that we can do this without getting the government involved in this, without getting government to plug in and say, you know what? You absolutely must buy health insurance coverage. It is a requirement because you have the audacity to draw breath. And to round it out, the whole idea of, you know what, you have to buy it, and, well, you're going to get a subsidy. Well, somebody's got to pay for the subsidy. Who is it? The American taxpayer. That's the short answer to it. So there's got to be other ways to do this. And that's the other thing. I mean, you talk about what some of these solutions are, but there's got to be other solutions. There's got to be other ways to come to the conclusion that there are different things we can do. I think buying insurance across state lines would help, something we can't do. But I think at the same time, not having the requirement that Americans are forced to buy health insurance just simply because they're alive. So I think the bottom line is, if you feel like, you know what, I want to step out there, I don't need health insurance, I'll be fine. If you want to do that, it's up to you. And it's not anything I'm going to do. Because I know what my needs are. But if your needs are different, if you're going to look at things and go, you know what, I'm pretty healthy, I go to the doctor once about every 3-4 years, okay, then maybe you don't need it. Maybe some others do. We ought to have the freedom to be able to buy or not buy based on our needs. There doesn't need to be this idea of a mandate that, you know, well, guess what, you must be covered. Or for companies, well, you must cover your workers. Okay. I don't know that they necessarily have to do that, but here's the thing. How many companies provide benefits? And benefits are part of the deal. If you're not getting benefits at one company, another one is offering them, well, guess what? You have the ability to jump over and do a new job and get some extra benefits off of the deal. These are just some of the things, but I want to hear solutions as well. So if you'd like to give us a call and share your solutions, that's another way too. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280, or text us 80373, and you can be a part of the conversation as we talk about this. Now, one person, as they texted in just a little bit ago, they said, do you think the insurance companies are being opportunistic in raising the prices? I think insurance companies are being somewhat realistic in going, you know what? There's cost involved in insuring everybody with one-size-fits-all policies. Because that's one thing that the Affordable Care Act gave us, is that every policy has to cover certain things, which sounds good on the surface. You know, well, everybody's got to be covered the same way. Makes sense. But here's the thing. Women are being covered for prostate exams. Men are being covered for maternity. These are things that just don't make sense. But now everybody's got to be covered for them. So I think that's a lot of it. And I think if you're going to increase the number of people that are being insured, then somebody's got to pay for it somewhere. Just my 2 cents worth. But 80373, you could text us with your thoughts, or you can give us a call at 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. As we continue on with the program, we have got a little bit of a break to take care of. But as we continue ahead, we've got somebody waiting on the line to chat with us. We're going to do that, and we'll also chat with you as you call in. It's Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. Lawrence and Taylor continuing ahead on 590 WKZO. Got a caller standing by on the line. Don from Portage is on the line with us. Don, welcome to the program. Glad you're with us.
Thank you.
Go right ahead, Don.
I'm going to try to answer your question. Why do we require everybody to have insurance? Yes, it's part of what you said is right. But what about all these folks that, for one reason or another, if they don't have insurance, especially a young person in college or something, and goes out and has a car accident, who pays for all that medical expense that they have then if it's not the taxpayers? So in one way, we're weighing off, yes, we're paying, taxpayers are paying the subsidies to help people have insurance. Mm-hmm. I would just as soon do that as to say an elderly person falls and breaks their hip, doesn't have insurance, and and has to be in the hospital or get sent to a place where they can recover, and no way to do that. You know, with the guarantee of insurance, I know there's a lot of people we don't like being told what to do or how to do it, but. You know, in one way, this is a start-off point, and we know, some of us know, that it's going to take 5 to 10 years for this program to take effect, just like Social Security or Medicaid started, that everybody said they wouldn't work either, and some people say they still don't work, but at least it is helping people, and that's what we're supposed to be all about as Americans, not worrying about whether this and that, but let's help each other out. And if insurance is the requirements to have a young person who needs glasses and can't get them because the family can't afford insurance, or needs dental work and can't do it because the dental things, and maybe instead of going your route, maybe you mentioned something about maybe we ought to just go to the insurance companies and say, hey, let's put a moratorium on raising the premiums for at least 5 years and give everybody a chance to get straight.
Well, I don't know, Don. I mean, because if you're going to the insurance companies and saying, well, okay, you can't raise your rates, you're basically telling them that, look, you're in business, but you can't make money at all.
And, they're all making money.
I'm sorry?
I say they're all making money.
Well, they're making money, but that's the same thing. They're in business to be able to make money, they're.
Look at the stock market and see which ones are the high, your highest stock. Other than pharmacy companies, insurance companies fall right in there along with the high price stock and that. So. But I'm not saying not to, put them on, just give everybody a chance to settle in and do the things, the Affordable Health Care Act, I hate calling it Obamacare because it's not, he's a president, but the name of the insurance is health care.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Affordable Health Care. Affordable Health Care means that anybody can walk, and... Mm-hmm. Look at eventually it's going to take the load off of the people in the emergency rooms and all that.
If we're hearing that premiums are going to double or triple next year, how is that affordable?
Sir, you are just like any other person you're going from what I said about helping Americans help Americans to protecting the insurance company. You are a corporation person.
No, I'm a person looking at this going, affordable if my health care premiums go up 2 or 3 times. I don't like that as a person that's trying to budget to be able to afford, important things like, food and a place to live. Thanks, Don. We got to run.
All right.
Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. My name is Jeremy Lawrence. Roger Taylor has the day off. I don't know, we were speculating if Roger was just kind of, you know, sitting at home playing darts or something and, you know, wearing a Hawaiian shirt or something. I don't know. But he's spending some time away anyway. So 44 degrees here at the studios. We're going to be catching up on the AccuWeather forecast here in a little while. We will have a chat with an AccuWeather forecaster. I understand it's not going to be Bob Larson. He's actually taking a vacation as well. Oh, wait a minute. Bob Larson on vacation, Roger Taylor on vacation. Just thinking about that. I'm not sure. But we're glad to be here with you. We've been chatting about Obamacare, and we're going to continue to do so as we go further down the line. Because, I mean, this stuff affects everybody. It really does. And my thing is that, you know, it affects people not necessarily from, yeah, I mean, yeah, the companies, yeah, they're going to make money. Guess what? They're for-profit companies, at least some of them are. And that's their job, is to make money. I want them to make money. But at the same time, I want to find ways to be able to save money for the rest of us, which is really, I think, what the real discussion needs to be. And probably what we should have had a couple of years ago, or actually it's almost 4 years ago that we had that. Wow. But it's the discussion we probably should have had at that time instead of what ended up happening. So we'll continue that discussion here in a little bit. Right now, though, time to chat a little bit about the weather. And we're going to do that today with Carl Erickson from AccuWeather. Carl, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon.
So looking through the forecast, I mean, they've said that temperatures are going to be falling throughout this afternoon and evening. Is that still the case?
Well, they've been holding fairly steady here in the lower 40s, and there is a shot of colder air just off to our west. They will be slowly dropping here toward evening, and they'll continue to drop tonight into the mid-20s.
Okay. So is that going to bring just a little bit of snow as well? Or?
Yeah, we should have a little bit of a mix of wet snowflakes in here this evening. That'll change over to all snow showers later on tonight. And not expecting much in the way of accumulation with the temperatures dropping below freezing, just a little thin layer of snow on the roadways that may result in some icy spots. So I do use caution, especially late tonight and first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. Now, first official day of spring is tomorrow.
That's right.
So are we looking at anything spring-like coming up in the next week or two?
Well, let's see. Tomorrow, it'll be, have a cold wind, a few morning flurries, and the temperature is in the lower 40s. That's a nice taste of spring right there.
There's a mixed bag.
Yeah, spring, for I think it'll be one day delayed. Looks Friday looks a lot better. We're up into the lower 50s, have a little bit of sunshine that day, maybe a shower, but I think most of the day is rain-free. So if we can just get through tomorrow, we'll put on hold spring for one day there.
Okay, all right. Well, and Carl, when Bob usually gets in touch with us, he's got a word for the day. Do you have a word for us?
I do.
Okay.
Puddles.
Puddles. Because we're going to have a lot of them, I'm guessing.
Well, because we had a lot of rain earlier on today, and I'm thinking there's a little bit of puddle action out there.
That could very well be. Plus, with all the remaining melting snow or whatever's left out there, I don't know.
That's right. Besides, Bob told me that word would work.
It works. It absolutely works. Yeah, and you know, Carl,
I didn't get the buzzer.
I don't know about this stuff because they literally trap me in here. I look out no window for like 6 hours.
I'm the same way. I'm just in a box with a microphone.
There you go. So, you know, so Carl, you're my window on the world right now.
Yep. So, I can see all. Yes.
So as we look towards the weekend, I knew that they were talking about a cooling trend. Is that still in place?
Yeah, it looks like once this shot of cold air comes in, it's pretty brief. We warm up a little bit for Friday, but then yet actually a more intense a surge of Arctic-type air comes in for the weekend. It looks like we're stuck in the 30s for Saturday. And Sunday, we may not get out of the 20s on Sunday. So very cold there. Then just a gradual moderation Monday into Tuesday, but really no big warm-ups anytime soon.
Goodness.
So a little taste of spring there for Friday, then that's it.
I'm looking back at the calendar here and seeing spring and hearing you talk about 20s on Sunday. Just the two ideas aren't adding up here.
No, they're not. And some of our long-range experts here think some of this cold air may even linger into the first part of April. So we may have to wait until a few weeks from now to see some substantial warmth.
Now, is that does the ice coverage on the lake have anything to do with that, or am I just asking a completely dumb question?
In the short term here, it will have to do more just with the overall weather pattern we're in, but thinking is, as we head into late spring and even into early summer, the large amount of ice we've had on the lakes, that may even have an impact heading into early summer, because once the ice melts, well, then the water temperatures will be colder than normal. It takes some time to warm that up, and that in turn will affect the air temperature as well, so... Could have a little cooling even in the summertime, as we normally would have.
Well, and people don't complain about that in the summer too much anyway.
Well, by the time July comes around, it'll be so hot, we'll be wishing it was cold again.
Well, you know what? I think for all of this, I think you and I can agree on this. We should blame this on Bob Larson because he's not here.
Hey, that's what I do best. When he's not here, I blame him for everything.
There you go. All right. Well, Carl, thanks for checking in with us. And I'd love to say we're going to chat with you tomorrow, but we've got Michigan State basketball. So, you know, priorities.
Oh, I understand completely.
So we'll chat at you soon then, Carl.
All right. Take care.
All right. That's Carl Erickson from AccuWeather and keeping us in the know on what the weather's going to do. Let's just say it's kind of a mixed bag all the way around. Going to continue the Obamacare discussion with you. If you'd like to get in on it, here's the phone number, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373. You can text us your ideas looking for what is it we could do that would be better. What do you think? And we continue on, Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. And before we get further into our discussion at this particular point, going to take a timeout for traffic as we head over to Derek.
Hello. Over on Kilgore Service Road, there is a large pothole between VFW and Kilgore Road.
Now, there's an awful lot of large potholes everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
But that one in particular, potentially, you know, one of those... I guess tire-altering kind of deals.
Destroy your vehicle type of thing.
Which we've all seen those. But do be careful if you're headed through there, because that might cause little damage. You don't want to do that. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate that. So we continue the discussion with you about Obamacare. That was one of the things we discussed earlier, if you're just joining us. I talked about there are health industry officials that are saying that Obamacare-related premiums – in some parts of the country, are going to double within the next year. The other thing that they said is that in a very populous swing state, that one insurance official says he expects his company to be able to triple its rates next year on the Obamacare exchange. Now, we talked a lot about that because one of the things the president promised was the idea that under his plan, healthcare... well, the costs would go down, $2,500 a year on average per family, which sounds nice. But somehow there's a disconnect between $2,500 a year less and double or triple. That's the thing that bothers me about the whole thing. And really, it bothers me the idea that somebody is sitting in Washington and telling me, you know what, we know what's better for you than you do. Therefore, you have to do this, that, or the other. In this case, I have to buy insurance just simply because I have the audacity to be alive. Now, some people say, okay, well, we require people to have auto insurance. Okay, we do, but there's a difference. You don't naturally come out driving. You make the choice to drive. It's something that you do. And I've known people that have said, you know what? No. I'm going to make the choice not to drive. They take public transportation or they work from home. And these are just some of the choices they make. It's a choice to be able to say, all right, I need to drive. I need a car. Going to buy a car. And you got to buy insurance at that point. You got to cover yourself and you got to cover other people. But in this case, we're talking about you're covering yourself just simply because you're breathing. That's the thing that bugs me about the whole thing. And I'm really all about, you know what, let's look at ways to come up with a different solution to this. And I think the key is coming up with something that's more market-based. And we had somebody that that actually texted in, said something about this, said tort reform must be addressed along with market-based solutions. Most docs offer a much lower price structure for cash-paying patients. The cost of billing insurance is significant to medical practices. HSA-type spending accounts make patients better consumers. And I think that's definitely true, because if you know, all right, if I do it this way, it's going to cost less. It's going to take up less of that health savings account. Yeah, there is some intelligence in that. There's the thought that you become a consumer again. You know, I think that's the one thing when you talk about prescription drug coverage. You know, I have a prescription I'm on regularly. Well, I'll tell you what, shopping around to find out, okay, is it going to be cheaper over here or over there? Believe it or not, that's the sort of thing that could save you some money. Now, I know copays and that kind of thing, but I'm talking from the perspective of someone that didn't have insurance, because for a while, I was one of those people. You learn to decide, okay, I need to make my dollar last longer and go further for me. And so you call around, you check prices, and you go with the best price. I mean, that's just, it's what you do when you buy a car. It's what you do when you buy just about anything. You look for the best bargain. Now, one other person made up mention of this when they texted in. And by the way, feel free to text if you'd like as well. 80373 is the way that you do that. But if you'd like to text in your thoughts, you can do like this person did. And they said, what if the people that wanted this reform really wanted to have government take over the healthcare industry? What if we believed what the advocates for Obamacare when they said that this was the pathway to single-payer government healthcare? How would we get rid of a market-based system differently? We would make it unaffordable and undesirable. And honestly, I think deep down, if you look at the way that Obamacare has been crafted, the way that it's been put together, these are the things that's how it works. It makes it so that it is unaffordable. It makes it so that things are way too expensive. And eventually people are going to cry out and say, well, come on, government, we want you to do something about this. The government shows up with a single payer system, says we're going to control costs, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And guess what? Suddenly, what is it, 1/9, 1/8, whatever the number is, of the entire American economy is taken over by the government. And I don't think we want to see that. And I think that's been really the way that this was designed originally. There was supposed to be the government-paid option in there as well. And they said, no, we're going to take that. We're taking that out of there. Nobody wants it. Okay, but the way that it's set up now, it's set up with the idea of eventually these costs are going to be so expensive, nobody's going to be able to afford it. And suddenly the government that made us all have to buy health care is going to come along with a solution and say, see, we're going to take care of you. We're going to provide for you. We're going to provide the way for you to be able to have your health care covered. And if you think about that, break this down. The government has a retirement system for everyone in this country. But I challenge you, look at what people are getting on Social Security that are retirement age. Are they able to retire on it? No. They're not able to retire on it. So if government does for retirement the same thing with health care, what's that going to look like? Well, we'll take care of about a tenth of it. Suddenly, we're a whole lot worse off, in my estimation. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And you could be a part of the discussion as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because ultimately, I think the thing that we need to come up with, the thing that has been avoided all along, is that we come together, Republicans, Democrats, independents, whatever. Everybody sits down and says, all right, we've got some different ideas. Let's sit down together and see if we can come up with a solution. And then you come up with solutions. You come up with ways to say, all right, well, we all agree on the pre-existing condition thing. There, done. We got that in there. We're going to do that. Slam dunk. Okay, we can agree on this other element. Okay, slam dunk, that's in there too. But let's find ways that it works for everybody and ways that, you know, it's called the Affordable Care Act. Why not make it actually affordable? If you're going to see your premiums double and triple, I don't know about you, but if my bill for something doubles or triples, I'm looking at other options. I'm looking at different things to be able to go, you know what, I got to save some money on this. That's, and if you're seeing that, if, you know, one company is doing that, then you think, okay, well, I'll go to the other company. But you realize these guys compete with one another. So if one's doing it, guess what? They're all doing it. They all got to make money, but they all got to compete too. And that's what keeps the costs down. But if the costs are way up, they're all going to raise their rates. Just the way it is. 382-4280. We got Jeff on the line in Richland. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Jeremy.
Hi there.
First of all, you're way off base with Social Security. That was never made as a retirement plan. That was a retirement supplement. To keep people, well, it was supposed to keep people completely out of poverty, but obviously that's not the case.
Right.
It was never designed to be a retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the health care deal, I'm backing up here a little bit, but people that aren't able to pay for health care are costing us in a couple different ways. First of all, they're still using the health care system, and normally they're waiting until things become a lot more serious, and then they're not able to pay for it. Well, the hospitals don't have the right to refuse your treatment, so they end up feeding that.
So,
and if somebody doesn't have at least a large cap policy, and they get into a automobile accident, fall off the roof at home, whatever else, become, you know, seriously injured, disabled, or whatever else, if they don't have insurance, once again, the hospitals can't refuse to treat them, so the hospitals have to eat that, and then the rest of us people that do have insurance or use health care and pay for it have to pay for that.
Sure.
So we're really protecting everyone that does have insurance by forcing those that don't have insurance to buy insurance, much like you would, you know, that's why you got to have PLPD on your car. They don't care if you wreck your car and you don't have a car. But if you hurt someone, they want to make sure that you've got money to pay for their injuries and the repair of their vehicle. So by doing that, you are forcing people to protect other people.
But here's the thing, Jeff. You know, if we look at the way that this system is designed, you see the costs going up for an awful lot of people. You require somebody to get coverage, but then they can't afford coverage. So doesn't that make them a little worse off?
No, because then they do have access to insurance, even though, you know, and I'm not terribly familiar with the plan, but I continually hear one side of it, and I never hear the other side of it. So I guess, you know, I'm digging for information here too, but I'm looking at it from the way I see the whole program, and there's so many holes in it right now. Again, you've got people that aren't using the healthcare system until their disease or condition gets so serious that then it becomes a very expensive thing to take care of instead of being able to have routine doctor visits and whatever else. Because there's a lot of people that can't afford to pay for that now.
Sure.
So if they get a subsidized plan where at least they're using the healthcare system responsibly instead of going to the ER for an ear infection or whatever else, and, you know, the hospital's chowing $1,000 because nobody's going to pay for it. You know, they're just going to walk out and not pay for it.
Well, I think the other part of that, though, is that, you know, you talk about, you know, the system the way it is now. Yeah, I mean, it's not perfect, and I don't think anybody says it is. But if people are going to the hospital and they're unable to pay for this, and then the cost gets passed on to those of us who can afford it or have insurance or whatever, to me, it kind of makes more sense to say, all right, then adding in government bureaucracy and everything that was added in with the Affordable Care Act, that tends to make things even more expensive. I guess I have trouble with that. I don't want to have to pay even more so the government can be involved.
Well, I'm not. I haven't seen the proof that it is going to be more expensive. You know,
yeah. Jeff, I got to run. I'm top of the hour. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Jeremy.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.